Welcome to We're Reading Dirty Books. This is Kalina.
And this is Saylette.
And this is a podcast where we read and review fun romance novels. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us this episode. We're happy for all of our return listeners and anyone new who's just joining us. Welcome.
Yeah, we're hoping you join us because you heard good things. And now we're going to talk to your ears about a love story. But first, let's do a quickie.
Okay.
All right. So, what is your favorite farm animal?
Huh.
If you could choose one.
If I could choose one, I would. I mean, I love me some goats. Goats are super cute and I love them. I think they're funny. And I want one to come and eat all of the weeds in my yard so I don't have to deal with them anymore. Because yes. I could just have a goat that would eat them.
Mm-hmm.
I also like that they're not like ridiculously big like a horse. Horses are scary big. Like, sorry, horse. You're too big. I don't need you in my life. I mean, chickens have their purpose, but I don't really want to take care of chickens.
Chickens are hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to take care of a goat probably either in reality. I'd like a goat that just existed and I didn't have to do much for it.
Just a wild goat that lived in your backyard.
Yeah. It was just totally self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm. You know those self-sufficient goats.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would love a goat. I think goats would be kind of cool. And if I ever wanted goat's milk, then I guess we should get a female goat because that would be kind of cool. But then I'd just have goat's milk and wouldn't do anything with it, even though I'd really want cheese. And then I'd be like, somebody make me some cheese. And then somebody would be like, well, you're the one with the goat. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know how to make goat's milk just because I have a goat.
I think we would find it very hard to get the milk out of the goat.
Oh, God. Yes.
We are not farm people. No. And I think it is not as easy as one would interpret it to be.
It would be a disaster.
And we'd be like sitting there and the goat would be like, what the fuck are you trying to do? We'd be like, we need this milk, goat.
And it would stare at us while we're crying because we have no idea what we're doing.
Get the milk out of the goat.
But I think, in all honesty, though, I think I would want a pig.
Oh, really?
Yes, I do. I think I'd want a pit pig because I heard they're really smart and they're actually very clean. And you can train them. But yeah, and I think that they're super cute. So I think that I would want a pig. I think, I mean, I love horses too, but they are too big. Look.
You know what I really want? I want ducks. I want runner ducks.
Ducks are so cute. Especially have you when seen the babies.
Have you seen the runner ducks?
What's a runner duck?
Like, it's a specific breed of duck, and they're very long and tall. They are naturally flightless. They do not fly.
Oh.
They just like run around the yard, like looking crazy. And like, oh, so fucking amazing. Yeah.
Look at their coloring.
Uh-huh. And they're not like, you know, yeah, like other ducks you think of as being more like squat and like towards the ground. But like runner ducks are standing up straight,
they
running.
They have really long necks.
Yeah.
Oh, they're flightless?
They're flightless. They're naturally flightless. So you can have them in a, you know, your yard and stuff and they are never going to fly away.
I want a runner duck now too. Oh my God.
And they're supposed to be really
so
good
cute.
For gardens. Because they are really good at pest control, and then their poop is really nutritious.
In your yard,
yeah, they could come eat all my grasshoppers.
Grasshoppers,
and then yeah, you just would have to. You have to have a body of water. You have to have like a little pond or something for
you know, a
pool.
You know, provide for them somehow.
Yes, you have to take care of them. But they also produce eggs, and then you'd have duck eggs.
Oh, that is so cool! Okay, one of us get a lot of ducks,
okay,
and one of us get two goats.
And we keep them all at Emily's house.
Yes, we fucking keep them all at Emily's. Yes. All of a sudden, she's got a baby pool full of fucking ducks and two wild goats.
And we just come over and we like feed them and shit. And we're like, oh, look at how cute they are. And then we leave.
Feed them, and then we leave. Take the eggs. And leave.
Take the eggs. We bring them over to help, you know, control our weeds every once in a while. But then we'll put them back in Emily's yard.
Oh my God. I like this plan.
Your yard's the biggest, Ems. We can't look, Sells doesn't even have a yard. She can't keep anything back there.
I don't have a yard at all.
It's all cement.
And it's all, it's dangerous, really, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other side is a dog run. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Kalina's backyard turned into a jungle.
I mean, I think I have a cat colony living back there. Yeah. A feral cat colony or raccoons, or both. Or who knows?
Dinosaurs.
I also might have dinosaurs back there.
Yes. Okay.
It's quite possible at this point.
We're doing this. Don't worry. By the time Emily gets to this episode,
it's going to be like 3 years from now.
We'll have reinstalled the podcast app on her phone for the fourth time.
And she'll like freak out about it. And we'll be like, we won't even remember we had this conversation. We'll be like, what? What did we say we were going to do?
We'll have no recollection of this conversation at all.
She'll be like, you can't put the goats in my yard. And we'll be like, what?
Why what are you talking about? Why are you fucking talking about running? What the fuck's a running duck?
Yeah, I won't even remember running ducks anymore. I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, so good. All right, guys. So that is a small intro into the book that we read for this week. And it's called Raising L. And it's written by S.E. Reichert. We've read and interviewed S.E. before on our show. And so we were eager to get back into one of her other books. So Clit's Nerds away.
Yeah. So just in case anyone is interested, we did Fixing Destiny by her for episode 121.
Oh, thanks.
So this is a new book, different series than the Destiny series that we were in before. So this is Sweet Valley series, right? Sweet Valley.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay. So it's a Western cowboy romance.
Yeah.
Right?
Cowboy Western romance.
Cowboy romance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we meet Elle. She is returning home to Sweet Valley, Wyoming after a few years in LA with her husband, who was an abuser and a very shitty person. Mm-hmm. Aaron sucks. And so she comes home to her family, her parents and her two sisters who are there. And, you know, she looks like shit. She's already, you know, she's beat to hell. So mm-hmm. people know. Everyone kind of knows what's happened. And she's coming home. It's a very small town. A lot of gossip, a lot of talk. They are trying to decide as a family what to do with Grandma's ranch. It's the original ranch from the family for, you know, generations from when they moved here from Ireland, I think. But she said they're farmers or something. Yeah. So anyway, there's this ranch. It's been sitting idle since Grandma passed, which was a few years ago. Actually, yeah, quite a few years ago, like back when she was in high school. And Elle decides she needs to she's going to fix it up, help her family fix it up, and they can sell it. Because it's kind of a burden. It has a lot of high property taxes, but isn't producing anything right now. It's not being used, so it's expensive to keep. And there's all these, you know, dude ranches in the neighborhood that would buy up the land in a second, expand their property, and expand their operations, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what she starts out thinking, and then she quickly falls in love with the idea of keeping the ranch and turning it into a working ranch. So she's slowly kind of rebuilding things, end up with some goats, you know, a couple chickens, horses, you know.
Pregnant goats and a one-legged goat. Well, a three-legged goat.
But also, while this is all happening, her childhood friend, high school paramour, I guess. Like
love interest, yeah.
You know, like lifetime companion, like Blake, is back in town after he had left too for a while. And he is not in a good shape. He is basically worked his way through all of the odd jobs in town, keeps getting fired because he's an alcoholic who keeps getting drunk and not making it into work on time, even when he's working in a bar. Just not a good profession for an alcoholic. So he's slowly getting like kicked out of, you know, his mom kicks him out, the next place kicks him out. Like he basically is living in his Jeep and not succeeding at life. And he's not doing well that Al's back in town, because that is kind of the, in his mind, the catalyst for his downfall. Slide, mm-hmm. his slide into rock bottom, because he really loved her and she left. At least that's the story he tells himself, right? Mm-hmm. So she goes and she drags him out of a bar and brings him back to the ranch and puts him up in a sheep, caravan. Yeah, sheep wagon, which I'm just interpreting as caravan on the property.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally picturing fucking that one game. Sorry, don't even listen to me. The old wagon trail game.
Oh, Oregon Trail.
Thank you, Oregon Trail.
I was not thinking that. I was thinking of just like a camper.
You're probably a lot closer.
Yes, it's a camper.
Than that.
I'm like, but no, they would take it, like, if they were, you know, taking the sheep out to, like, far pastures for, like, the spring or summer, then they'd go with them and just stay there instead of having to come back home.
Yeah, when they want to go on a cruise.
Sure.
I know shit about farming. Here we go.
But anyway. You know, so they start working together. He's helping. So basically she's like, you get to live here. I will feed you 3 meals a day and you will do work. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying you.
Nope, I'm still your boss.
And then he will also do work with her dad, who's a vet, because Blake had been going to school to become a vet and needs, the only thing he didn't do was take his test. And you need some internship hours, mm-hmm. and, you know, your practicals or whatever. So working with her father will get him hours, because he'll mark down every hour that he helps, because her dad's really looking around to retire and there's no other vet in town. It's such a small town that he's the only vet. So if he does that, all of the ranchers will have to go to vets from out of town. It's just less convenient, right? So he's really would like to turn his practice over to someone local. And Blake could be that person if he got mm-hmm. his license, but he needs to dry out and like put his shit together, and she's, you know, needs to put her shit together because she's running away from her abusive husband and her choices that led her there that are not good, and so she's back home trying to deal with all of that. So it's just a story of the two of them broken and looking to see what they have in the future. And then of course they naturally are still very hotly attracted to each other because they were yes. in love for most of their lives.
Yeah.
And it's just a, you know, how they manage to come back to that and like what they do to overcome all of that history that at first for like 90% of the book they refuse to talk about.
Yes. Absolutely.
And I'm like, oh, you guys need to talk.
Come on. A little bit of therapy.
But yeah, you know, and then like tragedy, like bad things happen in town and they solve it. They work together. It just is a good story. You know, they fall in love again and want to work on it. And then, of course, are we going to, yeah, we'll just, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about it. But everyone is really worried about what's going to happen when Aaron shows up, because they're just like, he's not going to let you go. He's going to show up. It's going to like ruin everything.
As abusive as like, he was.
Don't mm-hmm. worry about it.
She's like, not worried.
She's just not worried. And eventually we're like, oh, well, Aaron's dead.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she killed Aaron.
Oh, yeah. We totally was like, oh.
She poisoned him with some hemlock and then put him up in the mountain, like in the forest outside of L.A. And he ended up in a fire, burnt to death. Well, you know? I mean, he'd already died, but his body ended up burnt. And then they found his remains and are like, oh, he must have died in the mountains.
He went camping or something.
He went hunting off season and died.
Don't go off season, jerk.
I mean, he was a piece of shit,
also,
so it's fine.
Don't be an abusive piece of shit.
Don't be an abusive piece of shit is very key. Mm-hmm. Also, have a trust fund that goes to your wife when she kills you. For being an abusive piece of shit.
Yep.
Because at the end, she gets a nice chunk of change.
She sure does.
But anyway, so yeah, that's the story in a nutshell. Yeah. It's our first cowboy, our first Western style romance.
It is. And it's a good one to get into that's outside of the paranormal realm that we've been doing for years. And I think particularly because of Blake. Now, Blake is a major fuck up. This kid's got a lot of problems, but he's working on it. And he's got Elle there to help him, even though he's reluctant to do. I mean, like, from the very beginning, when she gets back into town, like, they fight through the entire book. They're bickering and she's trying to help him and she's trying to find ways to, like, get him back on his feet. But she's still trying to protect herself, too, from what they had and any potential to get hurt again in a relationship, even though I think she trusts him, you know, and he is just still so mad at her. So very angry towards her.
He's so angry at everything and everyone and himself mm-hmm. and the world. And I think the hardest part is like he doesn't take the help very well, like at all.
Yeah.
It takes him.
He's very stubborn.
So long to accept her trying to help him mm-hmm. put his life back together and just realize like you can't keep doing like literally you were in the way of dying. Like he was going to end up dying very soon if he didn't turn this life around. Like he would be drunk and pass out in a puddle or something stupid like that. Like he would die somehow. Mm-hmm. So he needs help. And Elle is just, it seems like she's come back to town and her way of dealing with her trauma is to just start projects.
Yeah, so she's busy fixing on
up
that farm.
The ranch. She's fixing up, you know, these animals. She keeps finding like really sad animals.
Broken animals. Yeah.
Like this whole flock. So there's this flock of, or not flock, fox for birds or something, but there's a herd. There's a herd of goats that have been terrorizing the ranches around town. They just show up and like eat everything and then move on, and no one can stop them, and no one can really figure out where the goats came from. They must be like abandoned goats that people have had and then abandoned at some point. So they've ended up in this weird pack of multiple different, like pygmy goats, angora goats,
yes,
a giant billy goat, like just all kinds of goats.
Goat misfits.
And they show up on her ranch and they're eating her garden and stuff she just planted, and she's like, no, stop. And then she like gathers them all together and puts them in the barn, and everyone in town is like, how'd you get those goats to do anything? Like, that no one else could get the goats to come together. Like, no one could herd them. So they're like, you herded the goats.
Yep.
She's the goat whisperer.
She's the goat herder. Except for the one that keeps getting away.
Well, he just gets out. He doesn't go anywhere. He just likes to get out and come in the house and eat shit on the table,
That's true.
Is just very upsetting when he did that. I was like, how'd he get in the house?
It didn't seem like she locked her doors, which was another indication.
Ever.
That
Literally they walked into the house hadn't been locked for who knows how many years.
Yeah.
They just walked in that first day and I was like, oh no. An abandoned house that everyone in town knows is abandoned? That would be full of the teenagers.
I was going to say, don't you have teenagers in town? Because you know that's a party place right there. Party palace.
They're like, this is house. The Sullivan Ranch, is nobody's using it. So let's go fuck at the house.
And then she gets some wild horses. Well, I don't know if they're wild, but they need some loving.
They're just not great horses.
Yeah. And a bunch of chickens and one Henrietta, who's my favorite character in this book.
She is so good. She just likes to hide out underneath the coop somehow.
Underneath the coop, because she's fucking awesome.
But that's how she survives being killed by the dogs.
I know. That was such a sad scene. I was like, Sarah.
Oh, Sarah.
Why did you write that scene in the book? I was so sad for that entire thing. It was one of those moments where it was just kind of like, wait, why? I was so sad for these fake animals.
I was heartbroken. I was heartbroken because Elle would be heartbroken.
Yeah, and she was. I mean, she was so heartbroken that she almost killed another
person. She almost killed Ty. Ty would have deserved it. That was a shitty fucking thing to do. And I don't know how. Small town politics, I guess. Small town, you know, everyone just wanted to like sweep it under the rug a bit. And he had to like, what did he do? Oh, he gave her chicks, little chicks.
Baby chicks in a box.
So that she could replenish her chickens that he killed. And I'm just like,
no.
And like all the excuses for why he still hated her was either like in the first scene that they encountered each other, his father was fired from the ranch by her grandfather for being like a slacker. I'm like, well, that's a long time ago that fucking happened.
Yeah.
And then there was some hint that maybe he had a crush on her in high school and she didn't give him any time.
There's no
And I'm like, this is why small towns are problematic. Because he didn't move on. And that is because every time he saw her, he started shit and he just said shit. And this is a woman. Oh, I'm sorry. In the first fucking scene, she just got back into town. She's still covered in bruises.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts giving her shit at the bar. And I'm just like, a woman who looks like she's been bad, like, just leave her the fuck
alone. Back.
But again, I mean, we had to have him. He had to be the bad character who we could all hate throughout the book.
Yeah, because the real guy was dead.
Because we should have hated Blake for a lot of the book, and we were supposed to try to love Blake, but...
Yeah.
He was a complicated character.
He was.
He's our most complicated male character we've ever had.
We usually get them really rich, really pristine, really put together. And just, I mean, like even some, not just like the paranormal ones, but even some of the other books that I've read outside that are like the billionaire ones and stuff, you know?
Or even if they're not billionaires, they're still just like, no one has ever had less shit together in a book I've read than this guy. Like, he had nothing together.
He had nothing. His own mom.
His mom kicked him out.
His mom was like, you can have that fucker because I want nothing to do with him, which broke my heart too. I was just like, damn. Oh,
heartbreaking.
Holy shit. This is crazy. But yeah, it's definitely a different type of main character that we've ever had. And of course, we know that they're going to be put back together. But the trials that they go through and the emotional like conflict and stuff, because Ella's willing to try, but then she backs
off. She's like, I love him. I know I love him. I've always loved him. Mm-hmm. And so she was kind of holding out. I think she had in her mind this fantasy that if she got away from Aaron, she would go home and there would be Blake and she could have the life she was supposed to have if the paths hadn't diverged back in high school. So right. What happened in high school between them? So they were dating, it seemed like. They started out as friends, like at 8 years old. He started hanging out at the farm because his dad had worked with the Sullivans. And so yeah,
they hung out at the grandmother's farm.
Yeah. So from like 8 on, he's around these sisters and Elle and him are the closest in age, and she just starts bossing him around and telling him what to do, and he's all like, you can't tell me what to do, and they're just friends from childhood, from very young, and all the way up through high school, and then at some point they start dating, kind of like kissing and everything. Little bit of like some story about like he kind of started to check out when her grandmother died, like he wasn't around for her, and she met Aaron. He was at the dude ranch with his father hunting, like on a hunting expedition or something. And he was there and was the shoulder to cry on when she lost her grandmother that Blake wasn't. But they did end up sleeping together. Like, I think she was already leaning towards leaving with Aaron, or she was talking about it. It was an option. But they're hanging out and he's like saying, don't go with Aaron. He's not good. And then they're
arguing and then they start kissing and fuck.
in the Jeep on a country road, which is a country song, I'm pretty sure.
I mean,
I actually think a lot of this book was a country song.
I mean, I kept making aside notes, from it like, being a Jeep song. Because it's not like a pickup, like a typical cowboy truck.
Yeah. But I'm picturing works. Like a Wrangler Jeep, not a
Rubicon.
Well, not a fucking Rubicon. No.
You know.
Especially not because he still has the same Jeep from high school. So yeah, it's definitely not a Rubicon. Those are much newer.
Or like a Cherokee, you mean?
Oh, it's not my fucking car. I mean, I guess it could be an old school Cherokee, like an original Cherokee.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they fuck and, you know, it seemed like good, but then she couldn't get him to respond. Like, he checked out.
Like immediately.
He convinced himself that he would hold her back and she needed to leave because that's what she should do. So he just ignored her. And so after being ignored, after sex, she left town with Aaron.
Cool. With the one that was showing her the compassion and the attention that she needed.
We don't know it was compassion, but it was at least attention.
Yeah, I guess that's true. We don't know if there was compassion there.
We don't and get just, any kind of sense that he was ever a good guy.
I bet, really? Because I think maybe in the beginning to trap her, but then as their relationship progressed. Well,
I think that's just attention. There doesn't have to be compassion behind attention. There just has to be attention. Like he just was expressing interest and he was attractive and rich and from LA and like all this stuff. So I'm sure that is enticing to somebody who's from a small town, never sees more than the same, like, you know, handful of kids that go to her high school or something.
And was hurt, ultimately.
And was hurt. Like, first lost her grandmother and then, is being abandoned by Blake. So she's like, fine, I'll go. Mm-hmm. Now, he's written the narrative. Blake has rewritten the story as she left him.
Right.
And then rubbed her LA lifestyle in his face.
Yeah, he kept calling her SoCal when she got back. She was not cool with it. And that he would not stop.
That pissed me off. If someone tells you to stop doing something, you fucking stop doing it.
Just do it.
I just don't accept. Like, if someone's like, don't call me that, then you don't use that nickname or that name or whatever. Just, I think it's really childish to keep doing it. Fucking, that made me madder than almost anything Blake did. Especially because he wouldn't do it for like a while. Like, we'd go chapters without him doing it. And then they'd be in an argument and he'd just be like, right, SoCal. And I'd be like, fuck you.
That was what he would do to antagonize her.
One thing she said to stop doing, stop fucking doing it. I hated that for him.
Like, stop it. Yeah, it was definitely a roller coaster of emotions through this book. I couldn't figure out, like, of course I wanted them to get better, and they did. They end up together in the end, obviously.
Well, he gets clean really fast, like pretty quickly. Like, he sobers up and then starts realizing he doesn't even want to drink. You know, he has the opportunity a couple times and he doesn't even drink. He's just like, I never felt good doing that. I just was numbing this. And now instead I have to kind of deal with this pain instead of numbing this pain.
And he's got something to distract him by doing the work around the farm and even having Elle around. She cooks for him, you know, she bakes for him, and she does a lot of work around the farmhouse too, and she's giving him a free place to stay because he was staying in like a motel, and then when she finally went and got him from the bar, the last bar, he was at that point was like, I don't have any place, I'm gonna be sleeping in my Jeep. And she's like, well, you're coming home with me and you're gonna sleep in the sheep wagon and you're not gonna touch me and you're gonna do all of my work. And she still bosses him around.
Oh, yeah. And he's just like, you can't tell me what to do.
And he's just totally like, still does it.
Yes, I can. I'm your boss now. But there's definitely, like, the sexual tension starts cracking up pretty pretty quickly in the book. Like, they're sneaking glances. I mean, they're working on this branch. They're getting all sweaty. And then they're all, like,
yeah,
you know, sticky and hot. And
yes.
Yeah, so they're attractive. Also, like, both of them were not looking great. Like, were thin. Like, she was very, very thin because Aaron had controlled what she ate and weighed her every day, which, fuck off.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe that. I was like, holy shit.
Well. Wow. And that's how she poisoned his dumbass, because she wasn't eating the food she cooked. Because he wouldn't let her. So guess what? Now you get poisoned, you piece of shit. But yeah, so she's overly thin when she shows back up, and had gotten weak because, you know, she'd grown up on the farm, on the ranch, working. And so she had always been strong. But Aaron didn't like that. So she was, you know, and he kept her at home. He didn't allow her to work. So she went soft and thin. So she was rebuilding her body, too. Also from the intentional abuse and kicking her down the stairs that he had done.
Yes.
So she had to rebuild a lot of stuff, like physically. And then Blake, too. He'd always been strong and, you know, like a ranch hand, you know, grew up ranching, doing hard work. And then he just let himself become a lazy alcoholic.
Yeah.
So he starts putting the pounds back on, like packing on the muscle, and she fills out and muscles up. And so they end up being very attractive.
Yeah.
And, like, they're all sneaking peeks at each other. Like,
like
hey.
Always. Yeah.
Hey,
and they find moments where they want to get along, but they both are very uncomfortable with it at first still, because they just are so unsure about how they should feel and what they should be feeling for each other and if things can be the same. And like, Elle invites him to go on a hike and he refuses, just like profusely refuses. And she just is very persistent. I mean, and then thank God that he went, because she almost keels over and dies. But then they go skinny dipping in a lake, in the very, very cold lake in the mountains.
Rocky Mountain, Wyoming lakes.
Ugh. And she makes a move on him and he doesn't go for it. And it's heart-wrenching. God, that scene ripped my fucking heart out.
So hard to read. Because we are getting his side of the stuff, too, that she doesn't get, obviously, in all of his internal turmoil. And he can't go back there yet. He just can't. His heart is not ready. Because he has this, so he has a lot of trauma from his dad left early. His mom is not particularly loving. Like we said, she already kicked him out at once. But she didn't seem all that, you know, she wasn't all of that maternal, it seemed like, during his childhood either, because he was always with the Sullivans and their family. So he feels that every time he loves someone, they leave him. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of his initial response to Elle back in high school, was like, after they did it, it was too big for him. It was too much. He loved her too much. It was too real. And he couldn't process that. And so instead of holding on to it and seeing what would go, like what would happen, with the chance it could break and it could end.
Sure.
He ended it first. He, like, pushed it away. He just, like, if I push it away first, then I have that control. He's taken that control, right?
Yeah.
And I think both
this
of them...
This time he gets to leave.
Yeah. So he's not ready to go back there yet, because he hasn't really processed what he did then. He really... Because, like I said, he's still telling himself this narrative of she left him.
It was her fault. And she's the reason why.
She had a good life. Even though he knows... Like, he's holding both ideas in his head simultaneously. Like, he knows she got abused and she was beaten to shit when she came back to town. He knows this. So he knows that her life wasn't good, but he also keeps thinking, like, you left me and ran off to have a good life in California.
he's like
you just had a great California life, and she's like, I obviously fucking didn't, buddy. I
I am back here now, broken and bruised.
I had a pretty shitty fucking life. So I think it's the two people, and I think the reason they fight so much, or at least what I interpreted it as, is that was like their original relationship to each other from childhood. They would bicker and fight.
They
and
were bicker.
Poke at each other.
Yeah.
And so these are two broken people who have been broken really since high school, and then rebroken like multiple times on top of that by life, by
since
her
then.
Ex-husband, by circumstance, by the world. And coming back together, it was just very easy to fall into that
routine,
relationship.
That familial. Familial.
The familiar routine of their childhood, where they would like snipe and bicker and poke at each other. And so that's why, even though it was kind of odd to read as a book, because you're like, why is she so, like, she doesn't feel like she would be that kind of argumentative with others, because she isn't with anyone else, just with
Blake. No, she seems very reserved and quiet and calm with her sisters, with her dad, except for the one time she blows up on him towards the end, with her mom. And even some of the friends that she rekindles with, you know?
Mm-hmm. But she just, yeah. So it's just this childhood relationship mm-hmm. that they are developing. And they kind of have to go, they have to build it all back from scratch, right? Because they aren't talking yep. about it. They don't want to deal with it. They're just like, we have these feelings, but let's just work on each other. And like, hopefully we can get through it. And they do. Right. I mean, they definitely, they love each other very, very, very deeply.
Those feelings come back and Blake starts to recognize sometimes when they are arguing some triggering things that some things that might trigger her. And, you know, she'll like cower or she'll start shaking because of the yelling and things like that. And so he'll back down because he's not a complete asshole. I mean,
no.
He has problems, but he cares for her. So he starts to recognize some of those things and tries to fix that. And, you know, they have good fun moments together. Like, I think they were having a little bit of fun at a carnival? No.
Oh, the dance. No, I don't think the dance was fun at all, but.
Well, definitely not the end when he was yelling at everybody.
Yeah, it was just a really weird scene that confused me. And I don't want to talk about the dance. I don't like the dance. The whole night was bad because then it led to the dead animals. But
it did.
I think the fun part, like the funnest scene was the cowboy hat scene.
Oh.
So he's sleeping in the sheep wagon on the property. And I think they had had a particularly like almost romantic night. Like they'd had dinner or something and they were, or playing Scrabble or something and were getting close to each other. And like, she definitely looked like she wanted him to kiss her.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I can't kiss her. And so he left, you know, and he goes out to the sheep wagon and he gets all in his head about her and he strips down. He's laying on his bed naked, just thinking about her, pleasuring himself, you know. Having the whole thing. And then he goes, yep. he falls asleep and he, of course, has naked, sexy dreams about her, about their like high school time together and all this. And all of a sudden, banging on his door wakes him up and he just jumps out of bed and walks to the door because who doesn't jump out of the bed naked and walk to the door?
Someone's knocking on your door. Better open it.
Nope. Sorry. I still know if I'm naked, but whatever. So he goes to the door. He's hard as a rock because he's having sexy dreams. And he's naked. And he swings the door open. He's like, what? And she's just like, oh my God.
She's like, oh shit.
And then in true cowboy fashion, he turns around, grabs his hat.
Yes. Everybody knows this scene.
Holds it over his dick. And then goes, what? And I'm like, that's not being covered up.
I would think the first reaction is to shut the door.
Oh, that's 100%. The first reaction is shut the door and put fucking clothes on. But no.
Gonna not grab like, my cowboy hat.
Not cowboys. Not Wyoming cowboys. No. They just grab that hat. They're like, what? And then towards the middle of the conversation, he kind of gets flustered and puts both of his hands into his hair. So the yes. hat is just hanging on his rock art dick.
It's so good. It's a really fun visual.
It's
to think about
perfect.
It.
Perfect. It's the perfect visual of just a chiseled, sexy man, all abs, all muscles,
mm-hmm.
just straight giant dick pointing at you with a hat hanging on it, a cowboy hat.
I need a cowboy hat so I can test this theory.
I think yes. That, yes. Yes.
Absolutely. Oh, I didn't know you liked cowboy hats. Oh, I don't.
I wanted you to put it on your dick.
Can we? Yeah, let's play a game. Oh. I'm going to do it with my baseball cap. Because I do have those.
Yeah. You do have that. There you go. So fun. That was such a fun scene. And then, yeah, like they go hiking. They just, they start to build their relationship.
They rekindle
back.
It. It comes back. And that's not without the bickering, the fighting and stuff. Because they still have so much to work on. And Ella's still surrounding herself around her family and like her sisters and her dad and stuff. And everybody always has really good advice for her or like telling her the obvious. I just always think that's so funny that it's always the main characters that just don't see it and they refuse to see it. And everybody else is so wise and they have all the answers and they're giving it to them. And they're not fucking taking it.
Because advice is always easy. It's always easier to give advice than it is to take. It's
very true. You know, especially when you've got still so many things to work on internally.
And she is not talking about what happened to her. She is right. not She's dealing not. With it. She's processing it in her, like, keep working way. I mean, she builds an entire business baking things and selling the baked goods to, like, local stores and local shops and stuff. And she's building, I mean, she comes up with these brilliant ideas. She's going to use the pygmy goats to weed eat, like, to munch all the weeds around the solar farm next door, because the farms are, the solar panels are too low and too close to the ground for mowers to get near them. And pygmy goats could just walk right they under, eating the right fuck in there.
And again. Oh, that's what the kind of goats we need are, pygmy goats.
Pygmy goats.
Fucking cute as shit.
The tiny little guys. Yes. Anyway, so she's doing all, I mean, she has great ideas. She's project.
The Angora goats for the yarn.
Yeah, she's going to shear the goats and sell sell the fibers to the local knitting shops, you know, like all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
Brilliant ideas. So good. And she's just, but she's moving. That's kind of how she's working on herself. That and fixing Blake. She's like, if I can fix Blake, then we can do
which
this.
Can only go so far until she breaks down and realizes that she's the one who needs help as well.
Yeah. She does have to start asking for help. And I think that's where we finally get to, where she has to be like, I need help. And of course, unfortunately, so they finally get together. Like, okay, we get a lot of almost scenes. Like, so much of the book are almost scenes. And then inevitably, a fucking goat walks in, or her sisters walk in, or her dad shows up.
Yes.
And is like, hey, we're going on a vet journey or something. Like, just fucking, these people won't stop showing up at her house and interrupting her almost having sex with this guy. And I'm like, this has to stop, Sarah. We need them to have sex already. So they finally do, and things are going well for them. They're doing really good. But then she has a nightmare about the night that Aaron pushed her down the stairs, kicked her down the stairs. And she, in her nightmare, like, throws herself out of bed and runs to the stairs and almost falls down the stairs again. And Blake has to save her. Like, he grabs her from the top of the stairs and finally brings her into reality. Like,
she's waking up.
Like, she wakes up and realizes where she is, and that she's not about to be kicked down the stairs. And she's still scared. She's like, get away from me. I can't be, you know, can't touch me. Don't be near me right now. I have to work through this all. So he gets it into his head that, well, I've got to take care of this. He's going to show up and he's going to make her worse again, or he's going to try to get her back. And, you know, she needs closure. So I'm going to go kill him.
Yeah. She needs reassurance that this guy is not going to come try to find her and finish killing her.
And she won't talk about him. So obviously he's still around. So Blake goes to her dad, goes to Elle's dad, and is like, hey, I've got to go to California and kill Aaron. And dad's like, that sounds like a plan, son. I think I will support you in this endeavor.
I couldn't believe that happened. I was like, wait a minute. What the hell is going on in this town? Because at some point, I mean, she did shoot at Ty, like, with a fucking shotgun, guys. And the sheriff was just like, don't do it again.
He really was.
Like, just like, where is Sweet Valley? I mean, is it south of Casper? No, I know.
The whole time I was envisioning Saratoga. Like, the whole of it just made me think of Saratoga. Like, hotel is definitely feels like it's the Wolf.
I was thinking of Casper and Torrington because I do know those small towns.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
But I mean, it could be any small town. I'm sure, like, anyone who knows a small town in Wyoming is like, no, it's this small town. No, it's this small town. Because they're all going to be very similar small towns.
They're all, yes. Yeah.
But yeah, the whole time I was just imposing all of these places onto Saratoga. And I was this like, I know exactly what you're talking about. That's bar outside of town.
Absolutely. I know this one. I know it. But yeah, everybody just kind of is just like, cool, go do you.
I mean, it's the West, right? It's like, we got to settle our differences and we don't get the law involved.
Those gunslingers are just in our blood, I suppose. But Warren is just like, good luck, son.
Here's some money. Go to California.
Come back and be a vet. Right.
Take care of Aaron and then come back. So wild. And her sister, too.
Yes.
Sister finds out and is like,
she's like, you should do that. Yeah, here. I won't say anything. So now Kate and Warren are keeping this secret from Elle. And Elle's like beating up her dad. Well, not beating him up, but yelling at him. And she's like, where the fuck? So she thinks that he had left. I think at first she was sort of like telling herself that it's because he was going to go get his vet license and like find himself and reconnect and, you know, all
she
that
was,
stuff.
And I can't tell if she needed to think that because that would she make did. Her feel good.
That's how I
just,
felt.
It, to me, it was the most ludicrous lie. There's nothing about yeah. that man that said, oh, my dog just slammed his head into the table.
Oh, no.
Because he's so scared. And I haven't heard anything, so I don't know what he's hearing.
He's afraid it'll show up again.
Yeah. Buddy, you're being so sad. Stop being sad. But anyway, there's nothing about Blake that said, I am, now that you've fixed, quote unquote, fixed me, I'm going to go off, get my vet's license, and open a swanky vet clinic yeah. in a fancy-ass town.
I didn't pick that up at all.
Nothing about him. So she's like, that's what he's done. And I'm like, that's not what he's fucking doing.
In her head, she'd created this story, like giving herself a reason to be sad the way that she was mm-hmm. and giving her strength to move on, because that was an actual legitimate reason for her to be left.
Yeah, that's true. And so then he does come back because he just went to find Aaron, and then he found that Aaron was missing.
There was nobody. There but wasn't then, an Aaron there.
As he gets back, guess who's at the house? Oh, an LA sheriff or,
you know,
deputy or something. An LA detective. A detective who's yeah. like, hey, we found his dead body and we just need to understand what happened.
Yes.
And she's like, I don't know. Oh, I ran away. He went hunting and I ran away.
She's like, what do you know about parsnips?
Yummy.
Not much. But it seemed like that the detective had her own history with abuse.
Yeah. The detective definitely, I think, was an abuse victim. And her big fear was that Elle was dead with Aaron. And
yes.
they just didn't find her yet. That he had killed her and then maybe took his own life. But as soon as Elle was like, no, no, he just went hunting by himself and I ran away because it was time for me to
yeah.
get away before he killed me. And then she has the story of the stairs and the losing the child and
yeah.
all of that. So that definitely, people aren't going to question too hard why you leave after that. So
absolutely. Like
it was
the sheriff.
Very convenient that the body burned in a forest fire because
yeah.
that definitely took care of any possible remnants.
In my head, I was like, did she fucking start a forest fire too? Like, all right, Elle.
All right. I did not think she started a fire. I think she just put him up in the mountains dead.
No, I don't think she did either.
Eventually.
I just like, yeah, it's a little convenient, but.
That was good.
It's okay.
It was a good story. I like reading different things. I think this kind of stuff, she writes this so cinematically that I literally am sitting there going, I'm going to move to Wyoming and be on a ranch. And I'm going to live the rancher lifestyle. I ain't fucking going to live a rancher
no
lifestyle.
No fucking way. No, that's so funny. I had the opposite effect. I was like, I never want to be a rancher.
All I wanted to do the whole time I was reading this book was be a rancher. I was like, I want this. This is what I want.
You know
what?
You know what part you want? It's the baking part.
I definitely want that.
Yeah.
I also don't want to bake for other people, though. It's
but
not
if that's
fun.
All you're doing.
It's not fun.
But if you're getting paid for it,
it's not
is
fun.
That different? Still not fun? Okay.
I only want to bake when I want to bake, and I only want to bake what I want to bake when I want to bake it.
You know, I share that same sentiment when I'm doing my crafts, mm-hmm. when I'm making my cards. So, as soon as you start monetizing that shit, I don't want to fucking do it anymore. I do it for fun because I love to do it. Okay, I get it. I get it completely.
Like, I love baking and I love making things, but if someone were to like, okay, you have to go home and make 3 batches of croissants today, I'd be like, that sounds miserable. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to read.
I'm going to do that instead. Oh, yeah. Dan has family in Wyoming that owns a cow ranch out there. And I know. I see the work that they've done.
We're going to live on
no,
the ranch.
I do not want to. I'm not going to do it.
No, but we read the book and now we have to do this.
Oh, now we know how to do it.
We're fine. This definitely was a...
They have like 300 cows at any point
God,
in
that's
time.
That's so many cows.
That's a lot of, and you know...
There's so many poops.
That's a lot of poops. So many poops.
All animals, there's just too much poop.
It's too
I
much
tell my dog that a lot. I'm like, you know, I'd like you better if you didn't poop.
He's like, well, don't feed me then.
Well, he pretends I don't feed him. He acts like I don't
That's
feed
true.
Him.
That's true. There's a happy dance every single time.
But then he has lots of poop. So I'm like, obviously I feed you. But anyway. So.
Hey, let's go back to when they were skinny dipping.
Okay.
And introduce our kiss and tell
kiss and
for
tell.
This episode. So, like we mentioned a little bit before, they went on a hike and Elle was like, hey, we used to swim in this lake. And he's like, yeah, when it was much warmer and we were children. And she's like, I'm going to go in. And so she took off all her clothes and went in. And he's like, fuck this, and went in. Even though he like rejected her later.
Yeah.
which sucks. But anyway, we thought we'd talk about our own stories, about our experiences with skinny dipping, mm-hmm. and the times that we've had such fun. I'm assuming they were fun. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. I only have one story, and I was in high school. It was when I was living in, or when I was doing my study abroad in Finland. And we did a summer trip with all of the kids, you know, around Europe. And when we were in Italy, we were, I'm forgetting the name of the town now, but it's one of their beach resorty towns. And so after out, like after all the stuff was done, after dinner and everything, we left the hotel and went to the beach at night and went skinny dipping in the Mediterranean, I'm thinking.
Yeah. That's cool.
It was fun. I mean, it's really dark.
Sure.
It's the ocean, kind of. It's a sea, you know? So I kind of was like, this is scarier than I think I...
You know, I wouldn't have been fucking doing
No, you wouldn't.
I don't get in when it's daylight.
No, yeah. But it was. It was fun. And it's something you do when you're like 17 and you're like, yeah, this is fun.
It's the experience and your peers are doing it. And it's, you know, for what you know,
and
it's
we safe. Were just a bunch of girls. We weren't.
Oh, okay.
There were no guys with us. It was just a totally bunch of girls cool and we're just like, this is fun.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That sounds fun. Yeah, I've definitely done it. There's a hot spring right off the Colorado River in Radium. Mm-hmm. And you have to go a little hike a little bit. You have to like hike up a couple of miles up the hill. And by hill, I mean like it's a mountain. You have to hike up the mountain. And then you have to climb down a ravine to get into this hot spring. And it's really cool. It's a cozy little hole in the ground. Mm-hmm. It's a natural hot spring. And you could probably fit comfortably maybe 5 people in it. I've seen way more than 5 people in it before. But Dan and I have been in there once with a couple friend of ours. So we went skinny dipping in there. And then another time, us and it was just us at first. And then 2 strangers came down and they were like, oh, hey, that's cool. So then they took off all their clothes and got in. So we were skinny dipping with strangers we've never met before. And of course, I was like, oh, my God, this is where we get murdered. You know, like I'm freaking out. We didn't get murdered.
Nobody's dead.
And I mean, it was cool. No sexy times. It was just like, just relaxing
also,
in the water
hot
naked.
Hot springs are like the least positive for sexy
you
times.
You probably don't want. Yes, absolutely.
They're not good sexy times.
Yeah. And then I also did it underneath a Arizona sky once. And I don't know if this is so much a skinny dipping as it's like just getting in a bathtub naked. In the
outside.
It was this big tub. Yeah, this mm-hmm. big metal tub that was on top of a fire.
Okay.
And so that's how they heated the water, was mm-hmm. with the fire. So you were literally like boiling mm-hmm. because you're in a metal can. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and then I went
so
into
your lobster era.
My lobster. Oh, yes. Yes.
Your lobster
that's
era.
When I was like, yes, my lobster era. It's when I wanted to be a lobster. And then soon after, I would go to the makeshift sauna that was on the property. Uh-huh. And I was naked with my boyfriend at the time and his dad and his dad's girlfriend. So I got to see, yeah. It was very holistic and very like hippie. Yeah, I know. It was very weird. So I simultaneously saw my boyfriend's junk at the same time I saw his father's junk and his father's girlfriend's junk. So all of our junk was just out. And I was, I don't know, 17 or 18. I have no idea. Again, nothing sexual. It was just us open.
No, and I get that there's no... But there has to be some line about parents and their children's girlfriend, boyfriend naked together should probably not happen.
Like, there should have been, I think, a stop where it's like, how about you guys go first mm-hmm. or you guys go after? But yeah,
hey,
I know it was...
Hey, it's, you know, I'm a bit of a prude that way. I'm just like, no... I mean, think about in, you know, like 10 years, you sitting with one of your kids and their girlfriend in a sauna.
Oh, all naked. Yeah, no, that's fucking weird.
Yeah,
it's that's, fucking weird. I don't know that I would want to see that, but yeah. You know. Yeah, so.
It's too weird, just too weird. But yeah, there you go. Skinny dipping is fun. There's something I like about, I do have that like being outside naked thing. I just like it.
Oh,
there's something
I
really
love
nice
it.
About it.
I want to be naked all the time. If I could. That's why I sleep, well, I can't anymore. But I used to sleep naked.
Yeah. When you slept naked, did you ever answer your door naked?
No. 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 But I wasn't 2 feet away from my door.
True, true. You had to go a lot further to get to the door. But still, I like it. Of course, I love the story plot of it. Oh, sure. But the idea of just jumping up and answering the door naked is so funny.
It is funny. Well, because he's jumping up and, you know, he's got a Woody. So he's just flopping up and down.
The second he stands up, he should be like, oh, and at least grab the sheet.
Like, just, I know.
Just grab that sheet.
There's got to be some sensation when you've got a boner and you're just like walking around or jumping. Like it bounces, right? Like it's.
One would think. I mean.
I mean, true. I do not have a penis, so I do not know.
I can only speculate as to its feeling and appearance.
I can't even imagine.
But yeah, so it's the first in a series, so I think the next book is...
I think it's Lainey's. Or is it Caitlin's?
Well, it's one of those two.
And it's one of those two.
I nailed
both of them.
The fact that
I actually think it is Lainey's. I also think it's Caitlin's.
It's for sure. Let me find it, Sweet Valley. It's either, granting Caitlin or composing Lainey. Oh, I think it's granting Caitlin because it doesn't look like composing Lainey's out yet.
Okay.
At least as of this recording.
I'm interested in Lainey's story because Lainey's a single mom. Mm-hmm.
She's got two
kids.
And
she's a romance writer.
I know. I love that.
It's so cool. She thought, like, I'm going to take the kids to sleep in the sheep wagon and you go fuck your boyfriend.
Oh, no. Composing Lainey is out. It just came out just 2 months ago in November.
Okay. Awesome.
So, yeah. That's the Sullivan sisters and their love stories. What?
Yeah.
Oh, it's got the wrong photo. That's part of the problem.
Oh.
Goodreads has, it says Composing Lainey and it's about Lainey, but the picture is the Granting Caitlin cover.
See, that's probably why I was fucking confused and thought it was both.
Yes. Yes.
Because I could see it in my brain.
It's very confusing at the moment. I'm looking at it going, wait, what?
Which one is that. Yeah, see?
So, but yes. So, I liked it. I like Sarah's writing. I think
Sarah's got really elegant writing. Particularly my favorites are from Fixing Destiny. That whole trilogy was my most favorite.
I think it's very descriptive and like cinematic. It makes me, like I said, it makes me want to be a rancher for no good reason. But I liked it a lot. I would probably continue this series. I think the only thing to share with everyone about, like, it does have sex, it has full on-page sex scenes. We didn't talk a lot about them because they come up kind of late in the book. Because again, there's that just constant interruption throughout the rest of the book.
They do.
There's so much tension being built for these two characters.
So much interference.
And you're just like, they're going to do it. And then they don't do it.
Nope.
But it's still very good.
We do eventually get it. So we have some information that we do want to share. It's not particularly a fun fact.
No, but we're just going to, for normally in that place, what we'd put up an article or something, we're going to link to the National Domestic Violence Hotline website, which has some like warning signs of abuse, you know, knowing what to look for. So if you or anyone you know that is suffering right now in an abusive relationship, here's some resources like phone calls, text, chat, like ways to just get some help if you know someone who needs it. So, and then some different types of abuse, because not everything is easily identifiable and not everything is physical. There's a lot of mental and emotional abuse that can happen that is still just as damaging, just as painful as physical abuse, but is, you know, doesn't have the outside signs, you know.
Yeah.
That physical abuse has. So we're going to share that just to help anyone who's in the need or just as another resource. It's always good to kind of refresh yourself with what resources are out there in case you find yourself or someone you love in need. So
yeah, we'll do that.
Kai, you want to write the book?
Yeah, let's write it. So I think I'm going to give this book a 7, and let me explain why. I had a hard time with 7 is still a good score, just so everybody knows, it's out of 10.
Yes, 7 out of 10.
It's still totally passing. Fine. It's still passing. I love Sarah's writing. Her writing is incredible. And like I said, the Fixing Destiny books, they're still one of my top favorites ever, especially the very first one. I think those are amazing books, and her writing is so elegant and beautiful. I think for this one, I think because of all of the bickering and the fighting, now I understand that this is their relationship and they're trying to move through the problems that they've had. And I think in my brain, I think I was letting my own emotions sort of take over how I feel about the characters. And I wasn't being fair to them in my head as I was reading, because I can't relate to their problems. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's my own internal issues that I have to take in as a reader. Not that I don't like these characters. I think that they're great characters. But I think that there's room for improvement for the two characters, because I know they're going to have a baby, because in the end, she's pregnant. She's throwing up all over the lawn. And they didn't use protection any time that they...
Ever. At all.
Ever. You know? But, you know, they're in love. It's like, so it's
condoms
all gonna work
don't
out.
Exist in Wyoming, so it's just not a thing.
Sheeps do.
Huh?
Okay.
Okay. I get you.
So I think I have hope for them to grow, and I think that they will. I am eager to hear about the sister stories, particularly Lainey, because I think that she's going to be a lot of funny. I could see myself relating to her a little bit. And that's just me, because as a reader, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. relating myself to the main characters and stuff. But Sarah's a great writer, and I enjoy reading the way that she puts her words together.
Yes. I think similarly, like, I liked this book. I was triggered by Blake in a lot of ways, because I have been with alcoholic people, and I have mm-hmm. alcoholic people in my life, and or people who suffer from alcoholism, I guess, if we're gonna blame the disease and not the person. And it's tough. It's tough. And he... Yeah, he was not like he was a so much of the shit he did. I was just like mad about. I was mad. Mm-hmm. I was like, fuck. And it was hard to watch her keep putting herself out there for him. But I had to like, yeah. But he did love her. He loved her so much. And that was his problem, was too much love, which I mean, sometimes, you know, abusive partners and people who suffer from alcoholism or other addiction diseases will feign that kind of love and let they have that kind of love for you, and that's why they are the way they are, because they just love you too much, and that's another form of abuse.
Yes.
So he was a difficult character too, but then there was like truly like I think he cried a couple times, which definitely helped, because I was like, okay, big giant cowboy man is crying, okay. Like I need him to have these emotions and to emote. And he was like, as painful as that scene where he rejects her in the lake was, it was also the right thing. Like he did the right thing there, because he was not ready. He had not fixed himself in his heart. He had not come to grip with the past as it really was. They had not talked about, like, he was still telling himself that she left, and she hadn't go, remember, you stopped talking to me. And he had not, mm-hmm. like, they had to have that conversation first before they should sleep together again. I think sleeping together in that pool, in that lake, would have been a very, very bad idea. Like, they would have come back down that mountain in more turmoil. So it sucked, you know, and it was painful to read, because she's heartbroken. Like, oh my God. The idea that you could even put yourself out there again after living the years she lived with under Aaron, and him like controlling her sexuality and like turning sex into a weapon and all the other shit that abusive people do, like her having the guts to stand up and be interested in Blake and to like express her interest and you know, put herself out there was so incredible. And then, you know, he rejected her, and I was just like, ah. Mm-hmm. But so I do love the way this book is written. It's just a harder book to read depending on where your triggers are.
If your experience, it really does depend on your experiences. And I think we're probably going to find this a lot in the new contemporary books that we're going to read, because these are real life situations, whereas paranormal...
Dragons don't trigger me. I got no fucking vampires history aren't with real. Dragons.
Right, like, I don't know vampire millionaires. Like, they're not real. So,
none of this is,
you know,
upsetting me.
Right. I'm not going to fight with immortality here.
And it's interesting, because prior, I probably would have said I don't really have triggers, because I'll read gory horror. I'll read, you know, mm-hmm. books with, like, terrible, you know, like murder in them and like, you know, gore. And then we read all kinds of sex. And I haven't really found any. There was a bully book that I read once that I was just like, that's pushing boundaries. But I really never thought I had too many, like, I wouldn't ever like read a book's trigger warnings and go, well, I'm not going to read this now because of these warnings. And I still would have read, like, this book, I didn't need to not read this book. I read this book and it was fine. It didn't trigger me that badly. But it's just little things in Blake were just too real. And I was just like, oh, Blake, you're killing me. But then I was also way attracted to, because he was so hot and like, yes, and so,
and had a cowboy hat.
Had a cowboy hat and a big penis. And he just,
and ultimately is a sweetheart.
To do right. He just couldn't figure out how to do right. And he tried to go kill Aaron for her, even though she already took care of it.
He didn't know.
And now they have a little inside joke about hemlock and parsnips, and it's a really funny.
It's pretty good.
So yeah, I agree with your seven. I think it's a very good book, and yeah, we're gonna have a little bit more emotional experiences with our contemporary reads nowadays than we had when we just had to put up with, you know, demon sex.
Right. Exactly. And even like as far as like, okay, Butcher and
Blackbird.
Thank you. I was gonna say Butcher and Builder. That's a band. that book is like, I know it's a, what is it,
it's a dark romantic comedy.
Dark romantic, but it's still like contemporary, yeah, it's contemporary. Right? Because there's no, right. But even those triggers and those experiences, we've never been around serial killers.
I've never watched a cannibal or plucked somebody's eyes out. I don't have, those don't trigger me. I'm like,
those don't, because those aren't our experiences.
No, that's like, that doesn't upset me. I'm like, yeah. I mean, do I want it to happen to me? No, I don't fucking want to have my eyeballs plucked out.
Yeah, I don't want to have those experiences.
But it's like how we, you know, we read true crime or listen to true crime podcasts or watch like Criminal Minds. Because if I can watch people have all kinds of serial murder day in and day out, it's fine. It doesn't upset me.
Yeah. There's still a few degrees of separation there. Whereas here, we can relate to some of the emotions and the storyline and stuff and the characters and the people.
Absolutely.
When they're real life written for us.
Yeah.
So, but I appreciate it because it's a different perspective.
I love reading different things. So I'm very excited to go down this new path.
Yeah. Good. Okay, guys. So for our next book, we're going to read Selkies Are a Girl's Best Friend by Molly Harper, narrated by Amanda Ronconi. And Jonathan Davis. This is book two?
Three?
Three? One of those.
In the Mystic Bayou?
I'm so pretty sure it's three. Right back.
It's been a while. We haven't done one in a while, but we fucking love, we love the Mystic Bayou. It's one of those, it's, we're back into paranormal, but it's that cute,
it's a silly cute
Louisiana town full of paranormal creatures and shapeshifters. And we had, you know, we had the dragon in the first book and then the bear in the second book, and now Selkies.
Yes. So yeah, join us for that.
And in the meantime, we'd like to hear from you. You can reach us on social media at Dirty Books, Facebook and Instagram, or you can email us directly at dirtybooks@gmail.com. And in all of those places, we are with three H's.
And you can visit us on our website at dirtybooks.com and most places that you can find podcasts. We would really appreciate it if you guys went there, rate, review, subscribe to our podcast, and let us know how we're doing. Reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for your music, Jim Townsend. And with that, we're going to say goodnight. This is Saylat.
This is Kalina.
And we'll see you later.
Bye. Yeah, you've been listening to Reading Dirty Books with Kalina and Saylat. Be sure to tune into the next episode for some more of your dirty books read to you. And if you're listening on a format that allows you to give a rating, please do that for them.